Well, good morning, church. How many of us are glad it's Sunday again? Man, boy, these weeks fly by quickly. I'm not so sure that's a good thing, but nevertheless. Well, over the last couple of weeks, we've been doing a series kind of about knowing God as He really is and the importance of that to each and every one of us. Now, this morning again, I want to talk again about God as He is and maybe reveal Him and show us through the message that I want to share this morning that sometimes we misunderstand God or God's ways towards us. And all of that is so very vitally important in order for us to receive from Him and to have the abundant life. For obviously that's what we're all after. Amen. Is to experience this life that He gave up His Son to give us. And so this morning I want to talk about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, and I'm sure it is to every, and it should be to every believer's heart, which is the topic of faith. We're going to get into a little bit about faith again. And I mean, how many of us, when we hear the word faith, we kind of tune out because, well, we've heard that message so many times. Everybody knows what faith is, knows how it works. But you know what? I still think that we need to know more about faith. We need to tap into an understanding of it in a greater way than we have. Because if we knew so much about faith and understood it, we'd all be moving mountains in our lives, and there would be nothing that would be impossible to us. Amen. And so we're going to look a little bit again at faith. You know, knowing God as He really is, we need to understand faith because He is a faith God. Amen. And today there are around us, in your life, in my life, there are so many voices out in the world telling us who God is. And, you know, they're telling us what He's really like and how He works. We hear many voices coming at us, don't we? I mean, you may turn the TV on and it might not even be a Christian show, but somebody makes a comment about what they, you know, like the big boy upstairs, he's going to look after me. I heard that on a show just the other night. You know, and all of these things give a tilt to God in our thinking, in our understanding of how we see God. Some people think of Him as the big boy upstairs. Like, I mean, how many times have we heard that? You know, and you think it's not affecting us, but those things are being filtered into our minds and it's helping to form an opinion about who we think God is or how we see God. So there's many voices coming at us all the time. Church, you might be sitting in a church and the pastor in the pulpit is telling you about God. Now, that is forming opinion. That's helping to form the opinion you have. It might be your parents. There are so many things in our lives that help us, or I shouldn't say help us, sometimes hinder us to seeing God as He really is. And that's why we're going very slowly through this, because it is so important that we see the truth. You know, a lot of Christians today aren't really sure what to believe. And so I want to teach on a few things this morning that I'm hoping will help to give us all a little more clarity on how to see God and how to know which is the truth. Amen. I really believe that how we see Him in your life is how God will be in your life. How you see Him to be in your life. It's some people, they get this idea that God is just gonna, you know, just do something other than what they see Him as doing. It's like they're waiting for this big spectacular thing. But God can only be to you a God, the God that you see Him to be. And so if you, you know, however you see Him, that's how He will be. And so that's why it's so important that we see Him as He really is. That doesn't change who God is and who he is, but it changes how you see him. It changes how you receive from him. God's never going to change. And God is limited to how you see him to be. And all of us have so many questions about God. And we need an understanding, a greater understanding on who he is to answer some of these questions. And I'm hoping today that as we go through some of the stuff, some of these questions will be answered. In other words, you know, so many questions like, God, why did you allow this to happen? God, why am I in this mess? God, why did you take Aunt Susie? God, why am I not healed? Why is it taking so long? Why am I in pain? Why am I suffering in my finances? Why is the money not coming in? Why? Come on. Ever ask God why? Why is this happening to me? What is going on here? We have lots of questions. And so we ponder and we reason. We ponder situations and circumstances in our own lives. And then we ponder, we look outwardly and we see situations and circumstances in other people's lives. And then we take the sum of all of that, and God usually ends up getting a bad rap. Well, you know, we did this and they did that, and we just don't get it. We don't understand. Why isn't my faith working? Why didn't Aunt Susie get healed? I know she's a good woman. She was believing. She knows the word. She had an understanding of the word. Come on, how many times have we been there? All of us. Questions, questions. And because we are the children of God, and we know and believe, you cannot be a child of God and not know that God is infinite and he's all powerful. He is almighty. And we know and believe that God can do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ever ask or think. We know God is limitless in his ability to work and move in our lives. Nothing is impossible with God. And so somehow that thought makes us think, where were you, God? You could have done this, but you didn't. I don't know. You guys look at me so piously like you've never been there. I've been there lots. Lots. I'll be honest with you. So most of us who believe in the limitless ability of God and knowing that all things are possible with God, we wonder, why doesn't he move in certain situations? And that thought came to me this week last week. As I was watching a show on TV, it was just a secular show. Actually, it was a true story. It was gruesome. And in the end, it was about those three girls that were abducted in Cleveland, and they were held hostage for 11 years. But the oldest girl kept telling and reassuring the younger girl that God was going to help them and to stay strong. And so at the end of the show, after several boxes of tissue, I asked God, why did it take you 11 years to rescue those girls? That bothered me. I mean, I was so glad they did finally get rescued. But 11 years of torture and terror beyond anything you and I could ever imagine. Darkness. Things that they would take with them for the rest of their lives. Things that would change their life. You're going to tell me that was God? So then my question was, why, God? She did trust you. She did speak of you all the time, the oldest one. Why? And so many times in our lives we're at that place. Why? Why? So we do believe in God's goodness. And when we compare the two, we usually, as Christians, because it's the right thing to do, we come to the conclusion, God is not at fault here, we are. Because I truly believe with all of my heart that if God could, God would. So then, guess what we do? We blame ourselves. Our faith just wasn't strong enough. We just didn't have enough faith. That's number one, one reason. Number two reason, and I don't believe that we in this church would go with that reason, but there are many who don't have a revelation of God's goodness and of how good he is. And so some would believe that for whatever the reason, and God is sovereign, he knows all things, he knows what's best for us. For whatever the reason, God didn't act quite as quickly as we would have wanted him to, and maybe God didn't act at all. So they leave it up to the divine sovereign will of God, which no man can know. But we just accept it and just know that somehow, somewhere, even in the midst of this gruesome situation, God is working things out for their good. Now, I don't believe that. I don't believe in 11 years of torture and pain and abuse can work anything out. And these were children, nonetheless. It's not like they had lived a life of sin and needed to be taught a lesson. They were children when they were taken. And so, where is God in all of this? Where is God? So this morning we're going to deal with what I believe is probably the biggest answer we will give to our own minds in the light of something like this, and it would be, my faith just wasn't there. My faith just wasn't strong enough. And all of us in this room here today want to have a strong faith. We want to have a sure faith, a now faith. And we know and have been taught that without that we can't be pleasing to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We want to have faith like that centurion had faith that we talked about last week. That's where we want to be. He took the limits off of God with his faith. And you know something? As Christians, there is nothing this side of heaven that is more frustrating for us than when our faith just doesn't seem to be cutting it. It's like we always come up short. Can I hear an amen? It's frustrating. And you know what? This is a very real and frustrating problem in the body of Christ today. It still is. We struggle and struggle and struggle, and sometimes for years, to obtain faith. You know, we try to work it up, we pray it up, pray it down. I mean, trying to get this faith. But the truth of the matter is that no amount of struggling on your part or mine is ever going to produce faith. Fasting, praying, crying. You know, as soon as you fall into a situation, something that's fairly serious or a crisis situation, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to just go pray and pray and pray. It's almost like you need to get yourself in that faith mode. I need faith. I need faith. So where do I go? We're trying to produce something with our flesh. So no amount of struggling is going to produce faith in your life. Let me just get that clear right now. Faith is a gift. You need to see it in this light. I want you to see faith a little differently this morning. Faith is a gift that each and every one of God's children possesses in the same measure. The moment you and I get born again of the Spirit, we receive that gift of faith. Now, I'm going to use a parallel or an analogy so that we can understand what I'm talking about here. After a child is born, immediately after a baby is born, does that child have to struggle to see or to hear? We're talking about the senses, the five senses that God has placed within the human body. As soon as the muscles of that child's eyes strengthen and he can focus, he will see. He will see the things around him. Why? Because he was born with eyes to see. He was born with ears to hear. He doesn't have to struggle to hear. He hears. He may not be able to identify what he hears, but he can definitely hear. You ever slam a door where there's a baby in a room and they jump? They can hear. And you know how as when babies are just new, you put your finger over their eyes and you're wanting them to follow your finger. They have eyes to see, but their muscles are not strong enough yet to focus. They're just kind of like all over. But they have the equipment that's necessary. And I mean, in most cases, I'm not talking about children who are born with physical problems. I'm talking about a normal, healthy, newborn infant is born with all of the senses. And those senses, he doesn't have to try to develop or get these senses to work. They're just natural to the natural body. The baby does not have to struggle to hear. He is born with the same natural endowments and of hearing, and hearing is the result of having ears. Seeing is the result of having eyes. Those are the natural endowments God has placed into the human body. There's no struggle. It's the way God made it. Are you still on the same page? Because I'm going somewhere. Now, the same thing goes for the smell, the taste, and the touch. Those are naturally placed into the baby. Natural endowments. Put into our natural body by God, known as our five senses. Now, first of all, we need to understand these are natural senses. And the first thing I want to say this morning is that you and I cannot know God with these natural senses. Impossible. We can't know God. You cannot see God as he really is through the senses. We will end up in error. Just like we saw from last week, what the children of Israel did when God told them to put a bronze serpent on the end of a pole. And in the natural, it looked like the pole was healing them. So what did these people do? Because they couldn't see beyond. The natural sees what the natural sees. And so what did they do? They ended up worshiping this pole. They made it a god. And that's what we do when we try to see God as he is in the natural. We will always get into error. Because in the natural, you cannot see beyond the pole. The Bible tells us that the natural man cannot receive or understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Neither can he know them, for they are foolishness to him. Now, the world thinks that it's foolish to believe something you cannot see. It is foolish to believe in something that you cannot taste, hear, or touch with your senses. And the natural man cannot know God. You know why? Because God is a spirit. And the natural man doesn't understand the spirit, nor can it know it. But my point in saying all of that is to say this. When you and I get born again, we now are born of the spirit. Just like we had been born of the flesh, God endowed us with the five natural senses. When you are born of the spirit, you also are endowed with what? Faith. You are endowed with spiritual ears to hear, spiritual eyes to see. Beyond the natural, beyond what you hear, beyond what you smell, taste, touch, your spirit has been given faith. And just like in the natural, you don't struggle to hear or struggle to see, neither do you struggle with the spiritual endowments God has given you. You have been given faith. It's there. It's like saying, walking around with your eyes closed and say, can't see where I'm going. I'd say, open your eyes and look. You have on the inside of you faith, all the faith you will ever need. The ability, what is faith? It's just the ability to see beyond the natural. That's what faith is. It's that ability. And all of us have been given that measure, not because we are so good, but because the Holy Spirit is in you. So when we get born again, we become born of the Spirit. Our spirits are now alive unto God, the Bible tells us. And the Holy Spirit abides in us. And all of us who are spiritually alive are given spiritual endowments, just like in the natural. We're given spiritual eyes to see. We're given ears to hear. We have been given by God through His Spirit the ability to see beyond the natural and to see into the spirit world, which is the true world, which is the world that never passes away. We have the ability to see the light. And faith, what we call faith, is your natural response to what you see in the spirit. Your faith is the natural response. Just like hearing is the natural response to the endowment God has put in the ears in your physical body. It is the natural response to the endowment of eyeballs to see is the natural response. We just do it. That's what faith is. It is a natural response to what we see in the spirit realm. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, if you are not born of the Spirit, you are in the dark. And you cannot see beyond the natural world. For if our gospel be hid, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, if this gospel is hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, would shine unto them. Do you see, if you're not born again, there is no, you're in the dark. You're totally in the dark. And you cannot understand spiritual things. You cannot understand why someone would believe something they can't see, feel, touch. So they say, you are walk, I mean, that's, they think of faith as a leap into the dark. But actually, it's a leap into the light. Because we are looking beyond. This is the darkness. This is the world that is passing away and death is controlling it and it's under a curse. We're looking beyond this world. We're looking into the light, into the forever, eternal world. And so who is leaping into the dark? It certainly isn't those of us who are looking beyond and who are walking by faith. We are walking in the light. The Holy Spirit illuminates on the inside of us the supernatural world. Peter, 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you would show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The whole world lies in darkness But you've been taken out of that. How? By the Spirit on the inside of you. You now are light. And a natural byproduct of that light is faith. You can't struggle. You can't pray it up or pray it down. It's in you. It is already there. Now, faith is not believing God for something that does not exist. And that's what people seem to think faith is. Oh, she's got her head up, you know where. She's believing God for something that is like, there's just absolutely, I mean, the doctors tell her one thing, but she's believing this over here. So they look at you like you're delusional. And that you're believing something is just ridiculous because there's no proof for it. We have the proof. That's why the Bible says faith is the evidence. It's not just a feeling or a hoping and, you know, oh man, I'm just hoping that, you know, I'm going to get healed. No. You got the proof. Why? Because inside, your spiritual eyes are looking beyond what the report of the doctor says. You're even looking beyond your physical body. Because that next world is the true world. And you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Don't ever tell yourself you don't have the faith. Don't ever allow your mind, because that isn't you telling you. That's the enemy telling you. You don't have faith. You have been given all faith. We've all got the same faith as the centurion did. So it's not we that are in the dark when we walk by faith, because sometimes it can feel that way, doesn't it? When you step out and are trusting God for something that is totally not seen, or I mean, it is just nowhere in the natural. It feels like you are stumbling around in the dark. You feel like you're in a very dark place at times when you're trying to believe for something that is not manifesting in your body. But I want to encourage you this morning. Jesus even said, you people are always looking for a sign. You know that even when we're walking by faith, we're looking for a sign always that this thing is working. And Jesus said, no sign is going to be given except Jonah, the prophet. Don't look for a sign. God smiles. See God smiling at you when you say, you know what, God, I don't need a sign. I know your word is enough. If you said it, then it's mine. And I'm not going to be looking around to see. I'm not going to put out a fleece. I trust your word. That's the kind of faith God's looking for. Blessed is he who believes and doesn't see a thing. This is the kind of faith you and I ought to be headed for in our hearts. It ought to be something we desire to walk in. We don't need a sign. We've got the word. So I'm going to go back. So faith, talking about faith, is just our natural response to the light that is now in us. We have been taken out of darkness and put into the light. All of a sudden, we see beyond the natural. We see and hear beyond what is in our natural world. So faith is not believing God for something that doesn't exist. It definitely exists, but rather it's believing what God has already given you through Christ. And that's where the lights go on. You begin to see that. Now, the sad thing is there are many Christians today who do not know all that God has done for them in Christ. But what about those of us who do know? What about those of us who have heard the truth? I can say amen to that. I believe we've all heard the truth in this church. And I'm not saying we've got it all. No church has it all. But even in the light that we do have, walk in the light that you already have. We know that it's God's will to heal us. We know that it's God's will to prosper us. We even know that God wants us to be youthful and full of life and vitality. We know these things. And we believe these things. Don't ever doubt that you don't believe them, because you do. You do believe these truths. So what about us? How do we come to this place where we have faith like the centurion, where we have that ability on the inside of us that's already been given to us and we use it? Where does faith come from? Where does the light come from on the inside of us? The Bible says hearing the word of God. Hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith comes from hearing. Be careful how you hear. For the measure of thought and study that you give to the word that you hear is the measure of power that's going to be returned to you. Some people have never heard the word on healing. Some people have never, so how can they believe it? Some people have never heard the word on renewal of youth. How can they even go there when they don't know? You see, it's the word. Jesus even said, the words that you hear, they are spirit and they are life. The Holy Spirit, when you hear the word, the Holy Spirit on the inside, the Bible says he bears witness. And so the lights, it's like a bing, and that's what we call revelation. And he bears witness to the truth you're hearing. And now what comes from the heart? Faith. You believe it. You know it. You have that inner knowing, that inner sense. Some people call it an ESP, a sixth sense. No, it's not ESP. It's the spirit of the living God, who is the spirit of all truth, living on the inside of you, showing you the truth, illuminating God's word as you read it. Now, if you don't read the word, there's not much he can illuminate on the inside of you. Amen? So we need to pay attention, the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 4. Pay attention to my words, for they are life and health to all your flesh. So we need to pay attention to God's word. So it's by hearing God's word. The Holy Spirit bears witness to that truth. And he himself is the light that shines on that truth. And then faith arises. You see, there's no struggle. Faith arises from the truth, from hearing the truth. It is our response to seeing in our hearts the truth. We don't have to struggle. The Holy Spirit opens up our spiritual eyes so that we can believe. That's why the Bible says it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now I'm going to say something. Believing is not a problem with a believer. Come on. Believing is not your problem. We just do. We just do. That's why we're called believers. We believe. Believing isn't the problem here that we're talking about this morning. Remember when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And some say, they gave the reply, well, you know, some say you're Elijah, some say you're the prophet, some say this, some say that. And then Jesus says, no, okay, who do you say I am? And Peter pipes up and says, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? Simon Bar-Jonah, you are blessed. Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. So what was the point here? What was Jesus really saying? Our faith or our believing is really the word of God revealed to us. And it's by the Spirit. You cannot will yourself to believe. Did you know that? Because now you're getting into the mind. And that's what we've been trying to do. Willing ourselves to believe something. You can't do it. Because the mind, the Bible says, is at enmity with God. Cannot understand, is not subject to the promises or the laws of God. You cannot will yourself to believe anything. People believe you can. Choose to believe. Right? I don't believe that you can will. When you're up against a situation and you know you need faith and your faith just doesn't seem to be that strong, I don't believe that by your efforts, and because really the will is of the flesh. And when you're trying to will yourself to believe, that's a flesh thing. And I don't believe you can do that. I really don't. It is by the Spirit of God. Believing is not a problem. So you cannot just by your own will believe something. Peter didn't will to believe that Jesus was God. The Holy Spirit, Jesus even said, blessed are you. You did not come up with that on your own. You didn't reason that out by yourself and come to the conclusion that I'm the Son of God. No, my Father opened up your eyes to see that. So that takes away the pressure from us. Faith isn't a struggle. You already have faith. See that, first of all. Believe that. I have all the faith that I need. Why? Because my spirit is light. I have the Holy Spirit. I have that sixth sense. That's like saying that, you know, I have physical eyes. Seeing isn't the problem. You know, I can't will to see. I just do. Because I have the endowment. You already have the endowment. You have faith. You do. So our faith or our believing is God's word revealed in our hearts by the Spirit of God. And the Bible tells us we have not been given this spirit that belongs to the world. Now listen carefully. The spirit God gave us does not come from the world. That's why the world doesn't know it nor understand it. But the spirit that is of God, that is the one we've been given. We've been given the spirit of God. Why? If you read the rest of that, we're looking at Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. It says that we have been given the Spirit that is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Spirit opens up our eyes, shines the light on what God has given us freely through Christ. That's the Spirit we've been given for that purpose. For that purpose. Let's not spiritualize the Spirit. There is a purpose. And it just told us what it was. So all of this takes no effort on our part. Except, what is the effort? Here, here, here. It's all by the Word. Just continue to hear about the goodness of God. That part is no effort. Faith comes when you hear the word, you hear the truth, the Holy Spirit. And you know, sometimes in our hearts, we hear things that are supposed to be the truth. And kingdom of God is all in all peace, joy, and we don't get that joy on the inside. We get that kind of a scratchy, ooh. That's the Holy Spirit telling you that's not the truth. If the Holy Spirit doesn't assure you in your heart, he does his job. How many know he's faithful to do his job? And when you hear the truth, he is going to shine the light on and you are going to know it. You are going to know the truth. And that same truth is going to set you free. So this takes no effort on our part except that we hear and continually hear God's word. But you know, I'm going to say something, and this is where I want to actually go this morning. Even though you might believe God's word in your heart, because like I said, that's effortless. That comes because we believe because we're believers. It's impossible that you don't believe. You have faith. You have the light in you. Your spirit knows and believes. Not a problem. And so your will isn't even really involved here. But even though you believe it in your heart, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to automatically possess it. This is where your will now comes into play. The believing is easy. We believe it in our heart, but are you going to possess it? Are you going to possess what you believe to be the truth? Do you know how many times the Holy Spirit has shone the light on in our hearts concerning a truth and you've never possessed it? lots of times. James calls this dead faith. Because if faith arises, you see it, you believe it. That's faith. But if you don't act on that faith, it's dead faith. It does nothing. And to see God as he really isn't going to change anything in your life unless you act on what you see to be the truth. Do you know that all of the heroines of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about Moses, Sarah, Abraham, Noah, I believe there's 19 in all that are spoken of specifically. Their names are in there not because they had faith, but because they acted on their faith. By faith, they did this. By faith, they accomplished that. So you see, faith without works is dead faith. Faith isn't the problem. We all have faith. Faith to move mountains. But are you going to act on your faith? God reveals himself by the Spirit to you in your hearts for a purpose that you will act on it, use it, and become more like him. God gave us 5 natural senses in the natural body. For what purpose? To use them. You have been given ears to hear. You've been given eyes to see. We understand that and we think, of course. Well, dumb. Duh. But he's also given you faith to use. Get it working out there. It's ridiculous. We can sit and get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, get more and more revelation on the inside, but never use it. What good does it do at the end of the day? No matter how much you know, you'd be better off to act on one small thing. Walk in the light that you have. You know, sometimes we want to have more and more and more revelation, but we're not walking in the revelation that we already have. Walk in the light that you have. Now, if we didn't engage our eyes, we'd be stumbling around and falling and, you know, like if we closed our eyes all day long. The senses are there for you to keep safe in this world. They're there for you to enjoy this world. We can look at one another. He's given us ears to hear music, to hear the natural sounds, to hear the voices of our loved ones. But if we never engaged any of these senses, what would be the point? So it's the same with faith. And it's the same with the spiritual endowments that we have now. God's given them to us for a reason. To engage them, to use them, to obtain the promises and the life of the spirit world that we see. Faith is given to be used. And just as you and I trust our natural senses, come on, you got some faith in your natural senses. Otherwise, Donnie, you wouldn't have sat on that chair this morning. You saw that chair was there with your natural eye. You felt it with touch. So you sat on it, trusting that it was going to hold you up. Trust your faith. Don't doubt your faith. Trust it. You see, we doubt our faith. Oh, my faith isn't strong enough. I don't think I can believe like that. I don't think it's strong enough. Trust it, just like you trust your natural senses. You trust what you hear with your ears to be the truth. Although sometimes when we speak it out, we twist it all up. But normally we trust what comes into our ears. We trust what we see with our eyes. We trust the distance that we see things. In other words, we believe it. I believe that Tori is so many feet away from me. Why? Because my eyes tell me that that's what it is. Trust your spirit. Trust your faith, that faith instinct on the inside of you. And the Holy Spirit opens up your eyes. Trust it. God gave it to us for a reason. And God is looking. Remember that scripture in the Bible that says that when Jesus returns to earth, is he going to find faith? Faith is not just believing something. There's a lot of people that believe a lot of things. Right? You have got to What's the word I'm looking for? Appropriate it. It's there. We see it with our spirit. We believe it's ours. We have faith. Now let's appropriate it. Did you know you cannot even get saved without appropriating it? You can have heard and have heard and have heard the gospel message. But until you say, I want that for me, by your faith, you appropriate it. I believe it's mine. I take it. With the heart, man believes. With the mouth, he confesses. And his mouth and the confession is made unto. That's how we appropriate. It's mine in Jesus' name. And a lot of people don't understand that. They think just because they believe in their heart. Oh, I believe. I believe. Oh, I believe. Yes, I believe. Faith is not believing. Faith is taking. Faith is a whole nother realm. Faith is when you got your focus on something specific. So many people say, oh, I just live by faith. What does that mean? Oh, I just believe. You believe what? What are you believing? Faith is an action. And it's more than just believing in our hearts that something is true. Many people believe that. They believe that Jesus died to heal them, and yet they die from sickness and disease. We believe that God doesn't want us poor, and yet we are all poor. We need to act. We need to appropriate by faith. That's what faith is for, to appropriate what we see in our spirits. So trust your spiritual eyes, your spiritual ears, and I'm going to tell you, trust them more than your natural ones. Because in the natural, the thing that you're believing for is going to be totally opposite. You trust your spiritual eyes, and you trust your ears more than you trust the natural senses, because they are more real. And they never change. It's not passing away. Because one day our eyes are going to tell us one thing, and the next day it can be totally changed. Whereas in the spirit, it's unchangeable. It's infallible. And faith cannot believe unless it is infallible. If you believe God changes his mind as often as the weather changes, you will never have that kind of faith. God changes not. Remember we looked at that scripture last week or the week before? His truth is infallible and it is unchangeable. This is the type of faith that the centurion had. He reached out, and not only did he believe, but he appropriated what he believed. When he said to Jesus, speak the word only, Lord, he knew the word that Jesus was going to speak is infallible. It is all powerful. And you know what? Today, Jesus isn't here to speak that word. Is he? We can't go say, okay, God, speak the word. You know what? He already did. He already spoke the word concerning you, every area of your life. He has called you. He who has called you has justified you, and he has raised you to a heavenly state of glory and dignity. He's already done it. So Jesus has already spoken. The word has already been said. And it says in the book of Peter that we need to pay attention to the word. Even though he says, we heard an audible voice saying, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Remember when they were up on the mount and Jesus was transfigured and the disciples that were with him were like, whoa, you know, wow. But you know what? God said, no, no, no. Hear his voice. Hear my son. The centurion's faith heard about Jesus, right? And he obviously pondered what he heard. Can you imagine in that day? I mean, you gotta, sometimes you just gotta get into your imagination. How many of us read a book and don't use our imagination? I mean, in our minds, we're imagining what the character would look like and the height and the, I mean, that's why books are so amazing. You get to put your own hero in it, right? And if you love blonde hair, you know, you can make your hero with blonde hair or however you want your hero to look. Once it's on in movie form, of course, now you're seeing somebody else's imagination. But when you read the Word of God, fill in the blanks, because the Bible doesn't tell us everything. It just gives us point form. So here's a centurion. We know centurion, the word means captain of 100, which we know that 100 stands for the election of grace, which is who you and I are. And it says that he had a servant that was grievously tormented. That means in a lot of pain, and he was very sick. And so he had heard about Jesus. Now, what do you think he heard? Man, this guy is amazing. You'd never seen anything like it. I mean, whoever comes in contact with this guy gets healed or delivered or whatever the problem is. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what the problem is, how big it is or how small, even if dead people are dead, he brings them back to life. So this guy is pondering this Jesus. And so he sees beyond. Wow, geez, how is it possible that everything that he touches, he has control over? Wow, it doesn't matter what it is. But he's also doing all these good things. It isn't evil things that he's doing. You see the you know, wow, what amazing authority. This man understood authority, didn't he? This man understood authority. He says, well, I'm also a man under authority. And I say to him, and he do this, and I say to him, and he does that. And so he understands authority. He knows authority has absolutely nothing to do with how you look. Nothing to do with how tall you are or how boisterous your voice is. Authority has everything to do with someone giving you authority. It's handed down to you. Now he looks at Jesus. He knows Jesus is just an ordinary guy. You can imagine Jesus was dressed like everybody else in that day. Nothing special about Jesus. He was an average. He wasn't exceedingly tall or short, or he was a very average looking dude. And if he was today, he would fit in and blend in with everybody else. You wouldn't know him either. But yet, this average looking man obviously is no ordinary man. And the centurion must have given it thought, and he must have pondered much at what he heard, because he came to this conclusion, this ain't no ordinary man. This man has obviously been given authority from someone, because he had authority, so he knows it has to be given. And the only one that has authority to raise people from the dead, to open blind eyes, open up ears, is God himself. So you see, through his pondering, he saw beyond Jesus in the flesh. He didn't see a man in the flesh. He saw the authority that had been given to him from the only one that could have, and that was God. And so based on his reasoning, and because he understood authority, he goes to Jesus and he says, you know, Jesus, my servant is lying in bed at home sick and grievously tormented. And Jesus immediately said, I will come and heal him. That's all the centurion needed to know. He saw that Jesus had the authority. We see that God has all the ability. But he needed to know for sure that he was going to use that authority on his servant. And so he goes to him and he tells Jesus the problem, and Jesus immediately says, I will. That means now the centurion knows he is willing. He wants to heal my servant. Therefore, it is unnecessary for you to come to my house. Why? Because I'm a man under authority and I understand. Just speak the word only and my servant will be healed. He saw the authority that Jesus had been given from the Father. And it's not necessary for him to be present any more than it was necessary for this man to be present when he gave out orders. He didn't go to the 100 soldiers personally and speak to each one. No, he gave one order and it was carried out. And he knew that. And that's why he was able to say. So he used a parallel with his own life. All truth have parallels in this life. If you just look for them, ask the Holy Spirit to show them to you in your own life.
that will help you to understand and to see God as he really is. Jesus himself had to act on his faith. So this centurion acted. Not only did he believe that Jesus had all authority and was able to definitely heal his servant, but he acted on it. He figured, you know what? I'm going to take this for myself. Even Jesus. Can you imagine if Jesus never acted? Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was from God, from the intimate bosom of the Father. He knew God. He heard his voice. What if Jesus had never acted on the light that he had on the inside of him? Many times Jesus said, I'm only doing the works of my Father. I do whatever I see my Father doing. I speak what I hear my Father saying. He acted. Yes, he had to work by faith too. But he didn't just walk around and ignore what was on the inside of him. No, he had to act on all of the light and the faith that he had on his heart, in his heart. And the Bible says that if all of the things that he acted on were written in and recorded, there wouldn't be enough room in this world to contain the books. You think about that for a moment. That means he was acting 24 hours a day, or let's say his waking hours, continually operating in faith. He acted. So the centurion never doubted the authority Jesus had because of his understanding of authority. So in the end, he acts on what he believes to be true. See, the faith was there. His eyes were opened up to see. And the faith was there. But had he not acted on that faith, his servant would have died. And then he would have said, oh, I believed. Why? Why did this happen? Jesus has already spoken about our every situation. We need to speak with his voice. We need to speak. Faith is the voice of Jesus. Your faith is Jesus. It's the revelation of who he is. And faith, when we speak what he's already said, he is speaking. We're speaking with his voice. We're acting with his faith. It's not even your faith, it's his. He's given it to you for a purpose. To appropriate all of the things. You see, God has called us to demonstrate through us in all of the things he's placed in us. But if we never appropriate it, they die with us. They go with us. So God has already spoken about our every situation. If it's sickness and disease, he says, by his stripes you are already healed. If it's money, it says that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Above all things, I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And Jesus says, right after the centurion says, not necessary, Lord, for you to come to my house. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Notice what Jesus says to him. This is found in Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. Go thy way, he says to the centurion, and as you have believed, so be it done to you. And his servant was healed in the same hour. How was he healed? With what method? The spoken word. You see how much authority you and I have been given? We can even determine how. As thou hast believed, be it done to you. The centurion could have said, well, if you come and lay hands on him, then my servant would be healed. And if Jesus would have gone with him, laid hands on, then the healing would have been done through the laying on of hands. But the centurion said, no, speak the word only.
So you see, in your own lives, say unto the mountain what you want it to happen to it. Don't just sit there and wait for, well, we're not really sure what's going to happen. Yes, make sure what's going to happen. Speak the word only, Lord, and my servant will be healed. And as you have believed, in what manner that you have believed, Jesus said, that is the manner you will receive. And so we have a lot more. You see, this is where we have a part. Faith comes through the word, through the Holy Spirit. We don't have to struggle to get faith, but we do have to use our faith. We do have to get it out there and appropriate what it is that we want to see God doing in our lives. And we can even say and go as far as to say, you know what? In the name of Jesus, I speak the word, and that's all that's necessary. And it will be done according to how you say it. You will have what you say. So today, God, we need to see God as he is. God is not in control, so to speak, of everything in our lives. No, you are. He's given you that faith. It's a gift. And don't ever let the enemy tell you you don't have it, because you do. As much as you have natural eyes, you got spiritual eyes. Just open them up. Awake, awake, the Bible says, and Christ will give you light. If you're not looking for anything in the word, guess what? Your eyes are closed. You're not looking. I mean, if you close your eyes in the natural, you're not going to see anything either. So you need to look into the word. You need to hear the word. Awake. And appropriate by faith what God has already given us. Amen. And God will be delighted. This gives joy to the heart of the Father more than anything, is when he sees his children using the gift of faith. For without it, it's impossible to please God. So don't sit around and wait for some big light to come on. No, you already got faith. Just use it. Use it. Speak, speak, speak. Just like a child. He's not born speaking, is he? You ever know a baby who comes out and says, hey, I'm Ma? No. A child doesn't know how to speak when it's first born. A born-again child of God, same thing. We don't really know how to speak. But once we begin to develop and begin to see with our spiritual eyes and hear with our spiritual ears, because let's face it, even in a child, some children speak earlier than others, and some children are later. Why? I believe when the child begins to take all of the senses and he forms, like he is able, he begins to understand things. And then what is the automatic response? Speaking. He just speaks. You know, and sure, when he first talks, you may not understand a word he's saying, like Parker, but he's speaking. He's trying to express himself. And that's how it ought to be with us. You know, and we get so filled with faith, we ought to speak. At first, we may not speak quite correctly, but you know what? You just keep on speaking, just like a child. You're going to get it right. You're going to get it right. Just keep on speaking what you want to see. God is faithful. This world is passing away. This is the dark. I'm talking about an eternal world that we can, by our faith, appropriate into the natural anything that we need or even desire through faith, the faith that he's given each and every one of us. Amen.